Welcome to Stock Odds, Odds and End, end of the month edition, right? We have the last week here of March coming up. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
Good, thanks. Ready for the end of the Q1 already.
What's that?
It's end of the first quarter almost, right? It just flew by.
I know. It's amazing. Amazing how time goes. And been quite a year so far. And we got a lot to cover today. Let's go party here. Let's see. You can see my screen all right?
Yeah, clear.
So we got this is the action on Friday. Kind of a sideways day back and forth over VWAP. And found some intraday support there. So I had a little bit of premium in pre-market and it came down and seemed to want to sell off, but also seemed to want to rally. That kind of a choppy day. And I know this frustrates a lot of traders. They tend to get whipsawed. So you have to you have to really take the temperature of the market and see if there's anything to lean on. And if you'd leaned on the previous close, you wouldn't have done too bad. If you'd identified that sort of intraday support level, you could have possibly caught this rally. Here's the daily for the spider. You can see that this week here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, and we definitely had a good one. Had a really great rally there midweek, and popped off to a follow through day on Thursday, but it did come off the highs, and we set up still a new closing high, and then it pulled back a little bit on Friday there, probably trying to fill the gap a little bit there, what I would think. So where do we go after this? Well, it depends a little bit on March seasonality, which we'll look at a bit later. Here's the Qs. Also had a pop to a new high, but it didn't close there. It actually pulled back, and we had a lower closing high than we've seen previously. So it was actually back here a couple of weeks back that we had the highest closing high, and then we popped up to a new intraday high, closed lower, and then Friday looks like it closed a little bit higher. So we do have a new high close on Friday for the Qs. Here's the Dow Jones Industrial Average ETF, the diamonds. That did not have a good day on Friday. Looked like it they hammered it pretty good, but the three-day rally was good. It was interesting to see how strong the Dow was on the FOMC announcement, and how that really pulled through to new highs as well. We got IWM here also playing that strong game, but then pulling back on Friday with Dow. So what's in the cards for the Russell? I think that there's still some opportunity for, if the markets kind of stay elevated, people are going to be looking for where to find value, and it might be in a small cap and mid cap space, but there is the concern still of regional banking, which IWM has a lot of exposure to smaller banks, so that could pull it back a bit. Sector performances for the Friday and for the week. We see communication services came through on Friday and also had an incredible week as Meta and Google performed, Netflix and some others as well. But real estate's been in the bottom of the barrel on Friday and down at the bottom for the week as well. That's due to the interest rates actually rising a little bit, the dollar rising a bit, has put some pressure there. Usually you can pick up on it, if the basic materials is doing really well, probably the dollar's declining, and if it's in the bottom of the barrel on sectors, it's the dollar's stronger. Industrials had a good week, technology just behind it. Here's the sectors themselves, sector ETFs. We see real estate performing the worst for the week, and it's like communications again, the best. And, you know, this is a pretty good sea of green here, except for the value and real estate proposition. So utilities, again, hardly pulling for the year. Look at this, Dave. 0.84 for year to date, for the whole year slightly down. Half a year, you know, had a couple good quarters, and or one good quarter and one good month, and then for the week not pulling much. So well behind some of the other sectors. REITs and real estate down altogether. XL, V, value, again, not performing that well either. So the race has really gone to communications, you know, technology cues, and discretionary so far. Relative volumes were on a decline. Maybe people just sort of sitting out, waiting for the FOMC, and then having a situation where they didn't want to chase it, maybe. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this week on the volumes. Here's the map of the market for Friday. You can see Google doing really well, Nvidia again doing well. But mostly a sea of red, a few speckles of green here. But for the week, look at the difference.
Wow.
It's just a few speckles of really bad red. And it's just fun. It's so funny to me how some things just get taken out to the woodshed and shot. You know, it's like Accenture with earnings, and AMD and Abbott and Nike and Lulu. Look at Lulu down 13%.
Yeah.
You know, we had Supermicrocomputers, super strong, pulled back a bit. Well, not a bit, that's quite a lot for the week. But, you know, I mean, amazing to see this. And then some of these red ones here. This is the chart of NVIDIA. So we have a 974 high that was set 2 weeks back. And it pushed up on Friday, took out its 5-day highs. So I would be expecting, I'm not an analyst and I'm not recommending anything, I'm just anticipating that it would love to test that intraday high of 974. And if it can get through there, you know, you might as well target 1,000. It's kind of like when a stock first goes through $90, it inevitably wants to challenge 100. It goes through 900, it probably eventually wants to challenge the 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, so I wouldn't necessarily bet against this. I mean, you could lean, you know, you could lean on that if you were short, but it may be too soon to do it yet. Let's see how it plays out. And of course, the slope is still up. Everything is still up. You know, it's had pullbacks before that it's recovered from, and this might just be another consolidation slash pullback that it recovers from. So want to also point out that a lot of people use RSI. And here's a great example here of the RSI being, you know, very overbought and it just continuing to climb through that. So when you have a catalyst, it can really override any of these indicators, any technicals, things like that. Now, in the condition it's at as of Friday, it's not in that same overbought condition. So that might draw in more people that actually are okay to buy it. Sometimes when it's climbing like this, you know, and they see this, they're reluctant to come in and buy it. So I'm just saying now that, you know, it's not in a condition of overbought at the moment, even though it looks pretty steep here. So this is that site, super microcomputer we talked about last time, and it did fill the gap, that, you know, gap down and came back up. And it's got, I mean, that's a long way to run to head back, but you know, it's got the same thing here. Look at this overbought condition all the way up, and then you know, sitting kind of at 52.36 on the 14 period RSI. So yeah, no arguments from any bears that it's overbought at the moment. But you know, things like this that have this kind of volatility are pretty hard to buy up here too. You know, a lot different when you're seeing a channel and you're getting your first breakouts. Mm-hmm. You know, you still might feel, Dave, like, oh, you know, I could have bought it much cheaper, but at least you're getting in at an entry point where there could be some follow through. And I think breakout from channels trading is one of the, you know, greatest ways to potentially, no guarantees, of course, but potentially capture a real change. And if you can identify the catalyst, you know, like I've said before, often the length of the channel can equate to the height that it rises. And this is kind of that example, although it's very catalyst driven. So it doesn't apply to all things, of course. Now, here's that oracle we showed. Now, last time we talked about it, we said that, you know, it may be sliding and want to fill the gap. Obviously, this week, with all of the other bullish sentiment, it managed to, you know, move higher and really, you know, stick a shooting star kind of inverted candle here with a 132.77 intraday high. So this could be something you lean on as well on the short side. And even though you've had it move higher and not fill the gap yet, there could be a real tendency for this thing to move down and eventually start to do that. I mean, this is Oracle, don't forget, right? It's been boring and sideways for a long time. And, you know, it got some spunk in it now, but that could easily fade. So that could be a reasonable high to lean on, is the 132.77. You know, the market cap is so huge and there's so many shares out there that it's not like somebody's going to come along and go, I want to buy Oracle, you know, and have it gap up 34%. So this gap is attractive from a mean reversion perspective, but it may not play out when you want it to play out. Now, Apple is not performing like any of the other big mega caps this year, and even going back, you know, a full year, it's really down in the dumps. And Thursday, the day after FOMC, they really leaned on it. And of course, there's antitrust news and things like that. But you can see that huge move down. And it was kind of like Thursday was like they shorted Apple and bought everything else, is what it felt like to me. But look at the performance. It's, you know, just horrible compared to the other technology mega caps, right? Here's old-fashioned gold again. We've got an intraday high of 2,225.30. This has been doing really well. Kind of, I think, probably from fears of, you know, some banking crisis again. Some fears of potentially, you know, digital currencies, some fears of civil war. I mean, it just goes on and on. There's a tremendous amount of fear out there, yet the market has been climbing a wall of worry. You know, when you thought that nobody's interested in gold, central banks have still been adding to their position, and somebody started to really like it as of beginning of March. And so here we are. And Bitcoin, you know, the other gold digital format says, hey, you know, I'm rallying too. And so they were both rallying at the same time. And Bitcoin's pulled back a little bit from those highs. So we're rallying ahead of the anticipated halving event. It's going to be harder for miners, so I would expect a lot of consolidation in the mining area, people that mine for Bitcoin, and that could also impact the price. Now, there is a tremendous amount of adoption, you know, with the ETF's approval and all that. There's a tremendous amount of money flowing constantly into the crypto space. So this is a hard thing to, you know, figure out which way you want to go on it. if you're into crypto or you're trading the things that are related, there's 20 stocks out there that have pretty sizable positions. You know, you probably know about MicroStrategy. You also know Tesla's been holding, but you may not know that so Block, formerly Square, SQ, has a really sizable position in Bitcoin as well. So these type of stocks tend to track that, and Bitcoin can be a very good leading indicator if you're trading those stocks that have Bitcoin holdings. So don't forget that. Currencies. So the US dollar compared to some of these others, look at the US dollar rallied again this week. And again, that was on the FOMC not doing anything. And some of the Fed speak this week only reaffirmed that they're still, you know, planning the potentially three cuts, maybe starting in June. Look at the CME FedWatch tool. Dave, what do you have it saying now, FedWatch?
Let's pull it up right now. Hold on a second.
So, you know, the narrative didn't really change much, but the dollar is acting like it doesn't believe in this Fed cut, potentially. Now, the Japanese yen was supposed to strengthen a little bit too, based on the interest rate hike that the Bank of Japan did, but it's come down. So maybe you know, what happened is people were selling the dollar and buying the yen from the beginning of March, anticipating that, and thought that it would continue, and maybe they just had to go back in or something like that. So there's some stuff going on, but this doesn't look like we're anticipating Fed cutting rates.
For June, there's a 66% chance of cutting, so that's much higher than it has been.
Yeah, it is. I think it went up to maybe 71 or something. Might have backed off a little bit on Thursday, Friday after the party, the Fed party. I don't know. What do we got here? The commodity-rich countries, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all declining again relative to the dollar. And here's the British pound, dropping quite substantially. So the yen is actually holding up really well. Swiss francs, okay. Here's the US dollar, it's a little bit closer, just because when you look at it this way, you think, well, we're up near a high. So I'm just giving you some perspective that we're sitting a little bit above the central point of tendency on the dollar over this last year. So definitely not back to the highs yet. Here's the 10-year note. So we saw a rise here this week. Still, you know, again, not at any extremes. And it's always harder to trade from this perspective of when you're in the middle of things. I love when things get really extreme, or kind of like this point where we rolled over from there and we had that big down day. And, you know, it really changes what kind of follow through you get versus when you're in the middle zone. Now, Dave, no chocolate for you.
That thing needs more caffeine and chocolate.
Look at that, eh?
Why? But why so?
Well, apparently the exporters of the cocoa bean or whatever, you know, not doing so well currency wise and export wise and all that. So there is a real shortage of cocoa beans. So you might as well go to your store and load up on chocolate. Could be with a new gold. Could be the new gold, Dave.
Under my mattress, though, that'd be a mess.
Of course, it might all melt living in California there. That'll be a Homer Simpson moment where he got delivery of all that sugar contract or whatever it was, and then it rained. Remember that? Don't take delivery. Daily chart of crude. So we had been talking about this resistance just below the 80 level, and noted that we did finally get through that. And now we probably view that a little bit more like support. So something's going on with crude. I noticed fuel prices rising again at the pump. I think sometimes it's, you know, very seasonally predatory, in my opinion, just suddenly cranks up at spring break and doesn't come back down until after, you know, September Labor Day. So what have you seen with the pumps in your area?
It's still above $5 out here, so.
Okay, well, it'll probably head up even more. And anyway, now everybody's given up on their EVs. Going back to good old gas guzzlers, good old reliables. So that should put some more demand on the gas pump too. Here's seasonality, last 3 days of March for ETFs. So we have the 5 days, was not quite as bullish, and we didn't see a bullish day on Friday, which would have been the first of the five. So I just skipped it and put the last 3 days, which is, oh, by the way, it's a short week coming up, right? So Friday's a holiday. So we don't have, a full week here. So it kind of, and Good Friday falls early this year compared, usually it's more in the first week of April, right? So the seasonality calendar could be affected somewhat, but I put the last 3 days, so that's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So what do we see for ETFs, Dave, here?
This is oddly strength in real estate, right? And at the same time, some of the risk-on stuff like ARKK, so that's, you got a risk-on thing and a risk-off thing at the same time being bullish, as well as utilities and staples, and weakness in oil, basic materials, gold, even healthcare, financials, something like that. So it's a little weird mix, but still more bullish for the last.
Yeah. Well, so you look at this overall, the ETFs are bullish. You do see, like you said, healthcare, consumer staples, real estate, utilities in here. And so what's good about that though, is how you arrive at this. And so they've been on the weaker side. And so this could be very good. If that's the tendency historically for real estate to do okay in end of March. And you know, that seasonally, I mean, there's a lot of real estate venture that goes on around this time of the year from now until June. So it makes sense that it could be depressed ahead of it and then, you know, suddenly pop up. So what I would keep my eye on, of course, is interest rates. Any kind of a catalyst on the macro side that combines with this seasonal sort of technical approach here, could be very, very good. So technically, we're depressed. Seasonally, we see an opportunity, and the macro would be the interest rates declining, and boom, you'd have yourself a pretty good trade, I would think. Okay, again, the probability of that. Now, ARK may also be down the dumps too, and or it could have been elevated last week a lot, right? So you have to look at the context, right? We know that gold has been elevated and starting to slide a little bit. So this could be great, you know, long real estate and short gold could be phenomenal. Anyway, so that's the ETFs. And then here's the stocks. So again, you're looking for stocks within the same group, right? So what do we have on the short side? We have some oil stocks. We have gold, American Barrick there, right there.
Some financials.
Yeah. And on this side?
You're just talking about MSTR, it's up there. Bitcoin.
Oh. Well, no, that's MicroStrategy. Yeah, sorry. Actually important to keep your eye on. That thing is priced way up there. Bitcoin rallies back. Sometimes I've noticed a tendency for Bitcoin to weaken a little bit on Friday and even weaken a bit on the weekend. And come out of the box on Monday pretty strong. So So if that's the case, you know, it could influence MicroStrategy. Myrna was in the healthcare. We noticed XLV was going to be strong, right?
And Lulu could be interesting because it got hammered this week. So
it really did get hammered. Yeah, that could be interesting as well. Okay, let's move on to the last trading day of the month, which would be Thursday. What do we see here?
Materials and oil up, so opposite of the 3-day.
So it flips on the last trading day. Okay.
The financials are weak for the entire period.
Okay. Oh, and then gold as well. Well, you have got silver over here and gold over here. There, you got yourself a pair, the silver gold pair. We used to do a lot of that back in the day with the silver gold ratio when it was quite at odds with each other. There's a natural occurring silver gold ratio, and there, you know, there was an opportunity to spread those type of things. Semiconductors, SMH, supposed to be stronger. Some biotech. Here's the stocks. Again, you have Myrna for the 3-day and the last day. Got some discretionary stuff.
DocuSign, RK fund. Yeah. Symbol.
Okay. All right. So pick your battles, guys, and see how it tapers off a little bit stronger. Midweek and last day is a little bit less bullish. Okay, economic calendar. What do you see here?
Another week of Fed speak. It's amazing how much these guys have to talk. It's Monday, there's Fed speak. Wednesday, they've got Friday. So it's a smattering again. But I think Fed Powell is also speaking on Friday at 11:30. So it's not going to be as important as OMC day, but they are out there yapping away. And then also there's some housing data, new home sales on Monday, Case-Shiller home price index on Tuesday, and consumer confidence, and pending home sales on Thursday. So a backdrop of how housing is doing. And then the core PCE on Friday, that's an important inflation data point. So those are the themes in terms of the macro.
How come these things don't take a day off?
I don't know why they got to be out there so much. They can be visible and yapping away.
Well, no, but think about how much pressure that puts on. Like if you aren't able to trade your equities on Friday, then you know. Like, but think about two things, Dave. One is how do people have to think if there's risk on the macro side on a day where you can't trade the things you want to trade. Right, like how do you position yourself on Wednesday and Thursday ahead of that, and then of course what happens if there is a market moving event on out of these things, because that's core PCE as well, right?
It's going to force.
And then you come in, you know, come in Monday, and then the other problem with Monday is I believe Europe's closed, Canada's closed. So you got a really light volume day without other markets. So this whole thing kind of sets itself up for some wild action.
I think just forces people to de-risk prior to Friday.
Why don't they just cancel all these things and do it a different day?
It's no sense.
All right. So here we got, at least we don't have any earnings on Friday. At least the stocks respect that. What do we got?
It's really between Tuesday and Thursday here. There's some meme stocks like GameStop, McCormick and the Spice Company that's on Tuesday. Wednesday, Carnival Cruise Lines. Those have been doing pretty well this year, the cruise lines. And Restoration Hardware, high-end kind of home furniture. And if it's anything like Williams and Sonoma, it could be that same group of consumer doing a lot of spending there as well. So that's one to watch. And then Thursday, we've got Walgreens Boot Alliance. That's the biggest one on Thursday. And then SMTC, Semtech. So not a lot, but there is some, I guess, some high-end retail, some travel stocks, paychecks, right? So that's how employment's doing as well. So a few things there, nothing like a Amazon or a Google.
Right. Well, I mean, it's we haven't quite got into the big thick of it, but it's coming. Earnings season is really on the horizon here. So April is always a wild and crazy month for earnings. So fasten your seatbelts.
And we got the quarter, right? Isn't Thursday the quarter? So
yeah, often there can be some good imbalances on the last day too. So I mean, again, before a long weekend, things can act differently. And then, like I said, you know, we don't often have it play out this way, where the last day of the month is on a Thursday in the month of March. So, yeah, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be some crazy times. And we got the eclipse that's going to, you know, distract everybody, busy getting ready for that, burn their eyeballs out if they don't have the right glasses. So, all right. Well, I think that's it. I got a couple notes here. Senate voted for $1.2 trillion to fund the government. So we're good, Dave. The government's refunded. 70% of discretionary government spending is covered, huh?
Spend forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. So do you think Standard & Poor's or Fitch will downgrade U.S. credit rating? Because, again, every time we get against the wall, it seems to be this same thing plays out. Right? Been going on for years. So I guess there is no intention to ever pay it back, I don't think. So you think S&P and Fitch will downgrade? So that's a potential risk I'm going to put on the table here. We got a 50 for one stock split. This is historic. 50 for one for Chipotle. You've been driving around and popping in there with your family too often, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I see teenagers in there spending a lot of money, and they're customizing. You got the real food. There's no slowdown in that department.
Well, small caps and mid caps. I mentioned this earlier. Maybe where investors seek bargains. You know, things are getting so pricey in the mega cap, large cap area. There's only two places to go. Some of the value stuff that hasn't performed well this year. You know, staples, utilities, even REITs potentially if the interest rates come down. But other than that, you're looking at small caps and mid caps, and there may be some good pops that happen in those areas. But at the same time, if we do get an event which causes the market to sell off and things go from bad to worse, because everything seems Goldilocks to me out there. And I don't really think that's the whole story. So my spidey sense says that the Goldilocks scenario is not what's really going to play out. That's just what my spidey sense says. So you have to be careful on the small caps and mid caps if you get a big downdraft. Just remember that. As long as everything's going fine and the market's making new highs and your favorite AI stuff is going to the moon, then there's lots of opportunity in those small caps and mid caps. But if things roll over, just be careful, okay? I think that's it. All right, Dave, thank you for your help.
Good luck, people. Bye-bye.